Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Sadi Gimel in Shabbos. We're finishing up from yesterday's daf, Sadi Beis Amud Beis. We're about halfway through the Amud. Yesterday we tackled two, let's call it even three, major sugyas of Shas. Eged Kli Shmei Eged. We talked about whether Kli unifies and takes an item and basically transforms it into one singular entity. Subject to our machlokis amongst the Amoraim of Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. The next big topic that we had yesterday was carrying in an unusual manner. Carrying in the back of your hand, carrying on your foot, carrying something in your hair. So in all those cases you're going to be pater from having to bring a carbon chatas. It would all be asumid the Rabbanan to carry in an unusual manner, but nevertheless, that does not create a Torah liability simply because it is lo kedarko. That's not the way that it's done. And the Mishnah and the Gemara discusses it. There was an interesting tangential issue that comes up in the Gemara that is carrying something and suspending it in air above 10 tefachim. Is that considered carrying in the Rosh Hashanah? To that, the Gemara's answer was absolutely. That is considered carrying in the Rosh Hashanah. We went through the dimensions of Moshe and the Levim. The other issue that we started discussing yesterday, although we did not finish, was the Mishnah's discussion about the case where I started with the object in front of me and then it kind of slid behind me. Or just the opposite, I started with behind me and it slid in front of me. And the Mishnah tells us that depending on which way it goes, it's going to you're going to either be chayv or pater. So what does it depend on? So the way the Mishnah presents the case, if it started behind me and it went to the front of me, I'm going to be chayv. Why? So as we learned to the Gemara yesterday, because it's shmira me'ula. It's better shmira. When something's behind me, it could easily be taken away from me. However, now that's in front of me, now I have my eyes on it, so obviously it's going to have more protection. And so therefore the Mishnah says you're going to be chayv. Masha ein kein. If it starts in front of me and ends behind me, so that wasn't my intent, that wasn't my kavana. I wanted to be watching it. The fact that now it slid behind me, so that's not what I intended, and therefore you're not going to be chayv in such a case. This is all what we saw yesterday. We got through the Gemara. I didn't get through all the Gemara. We have a little bit more to do to finish up over here, and we'll do so right now. Tanaihi. Uvalo la'achor of Tanaihi. The Gemara now notes, sliding to the back, it's subject to machlokas Tanaihi, the Tanya. The Braisa teaches us, hamotzi maos bepundasu apil amala. I take money out, and the belt and the mouth to the belt is above. Right? We talked yesterday about the money belt. They would wrap themselves up with a hollow belt. They would put money in it, but to make sure that the money stayed in the money belt, so they made sure that the mouth of the belt was facing upwards, so no money would fall out. So chayiv. So then you'd be chayiv. Pilamata. So what if the money belt's mouth is going down? So Rav Yehuda mechayiv a chacham and poshim. So it's a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the chachamim. So amalem Rav Yehuda yitamodim alachra avola achra shu chayiv. So now there's dialogue. And we're interested right now in the dialogue between Rav Yehuda and the chachamim. We start with Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says to the chachamim, I don't understand. Don't you agree that bilachra avola achra shu chayiv? That if it starts in the back and it ends in the back, you're going to be chayev. So the amr lo, and apparently what Rav Yehuda is trying to argue is, what do you see? That you don't need the best shmir in the world. Meaning, even though the item is behind you, you're still going to be chayev. So if the belt's mouth is facing down, so what? You should still be chayev. The amr lo, v'yatamod dekalacha yadav aragel shu pater. And the chachamim say back to Rav Yehuda, wait a second, that's unusual. People, when they wear their money belt, the pia is not lamata, pia is lamala. So it's an unusual manner. So why would you be chayv in an unusual manner? I'm Rav Yehuda, ani amarti davar echad, vehein amru davar echad, ani lo matzasi tshuva ledivrei, and vehein lo matzu tshuva ledivarai. So I said something, they said something, I don't have an answer for them, but they don't have an answer for me, we're at a stalemate. So, but the Gemara now points out, good, that's the debate between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. But meanwhile, though, in one of the passing arguments between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, meaning, it sounds like there was an exchange where Rav Yehuda said, what about my position over here? And it sounded like the Chachamim didn't agree. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the correct way to understand the Braisa. So the Gemara says, now what does that mean? When the Chachamim came back at Rav Yehuda and said, what about the fact that it's Kalachar Yad? It's unusual. You mean to tell me that Rav Yehuda disagrees with the whole principle of Kalachar Yad? That's untenable. The Atanya Lachiyad of Ragla Divrakal Potter. According to everyone, Kalachiyad is going to be Potter. Ella Lachra Valachra Divrakal Chayav. So the Gemara concedes, you're right, you're absolutely right. If you started with the item behind you, in other words, you put it on your back, and you walked with it while it's on your back, so the, on your backside, so for sure you're going to be chayv according to everyone. La'achiyad v'raglo divrakol pater. And if you do so, kila achiyad according to everyone, you're going to be pater. That's unusual. Ki pligi bupundasu pilamata. The debate over here is a very limited debate. When you're wearing your money belt and the mouth of the money belt is facing down, mar medami la'acharav avala la'acharav, omar medami la'achiyad v'raglo. It's just a question of what is this particular case more similar to? Is it more similar to the case of starting with the money belt in your back and continue on your back, and therefore you're going to be chayev? That's Rav Yehuda's argument. And the Chachamim say, no, it's just kilachiyad, it's just unusual, and that's where you're going to be potter. Okay.
The
Emes Amru.
The opening is open?
Sounds like it's open.
It's the opening because it's zipped.
Correct. Sounds like it. The Emes Amru Aisha Tana called the Emes Halachihi. So first of all, you should know as a Klal Gadol throughout Shas, every time the Mishnah says the word Be'emes, so that means that that's the accepted halacha. Rav Yehuda Amaf Mekapli Pitkin Tana Shekein Lav Levei Machus Sekein. And then the last point that we go over in the Gemara is that the Lav Levei Machus, the scribes of the kings, so when they are en route to deliver a message from the king, so first of all, they're running, because the king told him to go somewhere. So king tells you to go, you go and you run. And and because they're carrying such light items, meaning it's letters, so it sometimes starts in the front, ends in the back, sometimes starts in the back, ends in the front, meaning it's understood that in this method of transport, it's going to shift around. And so therefore, you're going to be chayv because that was expected. Okay? And that ends our discussion about miskaven lahotzi lafanav.
Why in all these cases that it's that discussion of like carrying a burden when the verse is upside down? It's basically not functioning for anything. It's just a burden. So
it's not even clothing. Apparently it has some sort of clothing value to it, meaning it is a belt. It's still a belt. But also it's secondarily it's also used as a money belt. You know, in other words, it's like a purse. It's both. So in terms of holding up your pants, I guess it holds up your pants. I'm guessing. I don't know.
What about but, the bag in the back and in front?
In other words, it should just simply be a burden.
Yeah.
It is. No. In those cases, it absolutely is a burden. But if it's carried in an unusual manner, meaning you start in the front and it moves to the back, that's not your intent. That's not your kavanah. For Shabbos, there has to be an agreement with act and intent. If there's no agreement with act and intent, you're not going to be chayev. Hamotzi kikah l'rishus rabim chayef. Hotziu shnayim peturim. Lo yachol echad lahotzi v'hotziu shnayim. Chayav Rabbi Shimon poter. And now we get to one of the main topics of discussion in the 10th parak of Shabbos, and that's shnayim shasua. Two people doing a singular malacha. Big topic that we're going to be covering very quickly over the course of today. I say quickly just because it's daf. We're going to cover quickly, but really could spend a lot of time on shnayim shasua. Two people doing an act, so the Mishnah over here basically says it depends. So let's talk about a loaf of bread, because that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Amotzi kika l'rishos harabim. So you carry a loaf of bread into a rishos harabim, yichayev. Good. So far, nothing instructional has been given to us over there that we knew. Hotziu shnayim peturim. But it's really a setup for the next case, which is that if two people to carry that loaf of bread, so that means that we're walking together, side by side. Each one of us is holding a side of a loaf of bread. Now, a loaf of bread is not that heavy. Each individual could do it himself, obviously. Two people are doing it, so they're both going to be exempt, peturim. Lo yachol echa lo tzio vo tzio shnayim. But what if it's a humongous loaf of bread? In other words, one person himself couldn't carry it, either because of the weight or because it's so delicate, meaning it can't be done by one person. You need two people, so then chayav, and so then you're going to be chayav for the two people who are going to carry it. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, they're still both going to be pater, even though, according to Rabbi Shimon, they're both necessary in carrying the bread. Nevertheless, they're going to be pater. We obviously have much to discuss over here. Let's begin with the Gemara. Let's say Zeyachov is Zeyachov, meaning each person can do it by himself. We're talking about a loaf of bread, a small loaf of bread, and each one of them can carry it by themselves. So Rabbi Meir Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Potrim. So Rabbi Meir says you're going to be Chayev, And and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say you're going to be potter. Okay, obviously it means they're both carrying it together. Ze eino yachol, v'ze eino yachol. Now, what if each one of them by themselves can't do it? They need one another. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, mechayvim, Rabbi Shimon poter. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir both say you're going to be chayiv, and Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be potter. And finally, ze yachol v'ze eino yachol. One can and one cannot. Now the simplest way to explain this, which may not probably be right, but the simplest way to explain it is that one person is really strong and the other person isn't. Okay, I'll show you later on this morning. That might not be the right way to understand it, but for now, let's just say it like that. Ze yachol v'ze eino yachol. Divrei hakol chayiv, according to everyone, he would be chayiv. Now, I would venture to say, right, you ask me which one. Intuitively, I'd venture to say the one who can is going to be chayiv, not the one who cannot. But stay tuned, though, because you're going to see later on, the question is a legitimate question. So far everyone's good. In other words, we have basically now three opinions amongst the Tanayim. What becomes of the two people who do a malacha? So just to quickly recap, we have the opinion of Rav Meir. Okay, Rav Meir takes such an interesting position, meaning Rav Meir says that even if both of them could do it by themselves, if both carry the loaf of bread, they're going to be chayef. Okay, an interesting position of Rabbi Meir. In other words, there's no patur for Rav Meir of two people carrying a loaf of bread, or two people doing any malacha for that matter. By the way, you understand, we're not just talking about carrying. In other words, this halacha of Shnaim Shasu is not just limited to the malacha of Hotza'ah. It'd be true by any malacha, or writing a letter. Right, the shear is writing two letters. So in other words, if two people hold the pen together, and two people write, it's not going to be that functional, but if two people were to write holding that one pen, so you would not have a Torah liability. Wouldn't be chayav karban chatas. Obviously, it'd be aser mid the rabbanim, but you're part of from a karban. So Rav Meir's position is very interesting. Rav Meir does not have any patur. There's no exemption for Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda's position, I would say, is the most intuitive, and, oh, by the way, the one that we accept, which is that two people carry, and if they both could have done it on their own, and they don't need one another, so then they're going to be potter. If, however, it's a very heavy item, and they need one another to carry, so Rav Yehuda says they're going to be chayiv. And then we get to the position Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon and Shimon always has exemption. Meaning when two people do an act, according to Rabbi Shimon, even if they need one another, it's a really heavy loaf of bread, or it's a heavy item. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you're always going to be potter. And the only scenario where Rabbi Shimon said you'd be chayev is ze yachol v'ze eino yachol. If one person on his own could have done it, the other person is just kind of there, you know, for his good looks, but really he's not contributing anything in terms of the helping. So then Rabbi Shimon would say that in that case, and only in that case, is there going to be a chiv? Is there going to be a chiv chatas? The Gemara quotes a braisa. We haven't really explained anything yet. I'm just laying out the facts. The Gemara later on will help us understand this a little bit better. The braisa now, the Gemara quotes another braisa that supports this, what we've already seen. If a person carries a loaf of bread into Rosh Hashanah, he'll be chayav. If two people take it out. Rabbi Meir mechayav, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. And Rav Meir says you're chayiv, because again, Rav Meir never has an exemption. So Rav Meir says you're going to be chayiv. And again, Rav Yehuda takes that kind of middle position, where if the two people are necessary to carry the loaf of bread, so then they're going to be chayiv. If the two people are not needed, both not needed, so then they're going to be potter. And finally, we have Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon potter. Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be potter. And, okay, Adkan Divrei HaBraisa, the Gemara now has quoted two braises that basically reflect that. And by the way, we have now a machlokus between three Amorayim. How many of those positions were reflected in our Mishnah? Only two of the three positions. Meaning when you look back at our Mishnah, you realize that our Mishnah only acknowledges two of the three positions. Why that should be, I don't know, but just, you know, making sure that we get everything straight. And by the way, who does our Mishnah leave out of the three positions? In other words, we know Rabbi Shimon's there, it says that. Who's the Tanakama? Tanakama is Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So Rameir is left out of the Mishnah. What about Stam Mishnah Karemi Meir? Okay, I don't know. Tanu Rabbanan. I'm sorry, Minahan Emili de Tanu Rabbanan. And now here we go. And what we're going to do now is we're going to darshan. The Gemara is going to darshan Pesukim and basically extract each Tana's position from the way they darshan the Pasuk. Now the note. The Pasuk we're about to darshan is the Karban Chatas. It's very interesting because it sounds like the way the Gemara is presenting this, this is not a halacha specific to even Hilchos Shabbos. Meaning it sounds like the way the Gemara is darshaning right now, Shtayim Shasua, that this is a general concept throughout Kol HaTorah Kula. Because where we're deriving this source for this halacha from is coming from Karban Chatas. Meaning at what point exactly is a person obligated to bring a Karban Chatas? When he acted on his own? When he acted with somebody else? If he needed that other person? Or what if he didn't contribute whatsoever to the other person's efforts? All this comes from Parshas Vayikra, Perek Dalet. Be'asosa, ha'oses kula v'lo ases miksasa. So the Torah says, be'asosa, you must do it. And the key word over here, the key part of the word is be'asosa. You have to do it. In other words, you have to be solely responsible for the action. And it cannot be a joint effort. So, ketzah, so how does this work exactly? Shnaim shayochzim b'malgez. Now it's interesting, the word malgez over here, if you shuffle around the letters, it comes out to be mazleg, which on the side of the Gemara notes that that's what it means. It actually means mazleg. It could be the letters got shuffled around, either way. B'malgez v'logzin, karkar v'shoftim, b'kulmuz v'kosvin, b'kanevot z'yolah rishos harabim. So the Brice gives four different examples. Each one of them is where two people jointly do one singular malacha. Either they're both holding the fork and they're doing logzin. Now what exactly does that mean? So Rashi says they're involved in the malacha of ma'amer. The malacha of ma'amer, if you remember from just a short couple weeks ago, that's the malacha of gathering things together out in the field. So then we make bundles of things. B'karkar v'shoftim, or they're involved in the act of weaving. This is a straightening out of the strings using the instrument called the karkar. B'kulmuz v'kosvin, or they're holding a pen and they're writing. The two of them are holding the pen together and writing letters together. B'kanevot zi'o b'lirishos harabim, or they both hold on to a quill and they walk out with it into a rishos harabim. Yachol yuhu chayavim. So we have a patur, because in order to be chayav karban chatas, you must do all of the malacha. You must be singularly responsible for the action, the performance of the malacha. If you're doing it together with somebody else, you're going to be exempt. But then the braisa continues. We're now on the top of Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph. But let's say it's really big. It is a cake of figs. And in the good old days, that was a large item. Bikor votzil the rishos rabim murtz abim. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo yachol achol otzil votzil shnayim chayavim. V'im la p'term. So here now Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it depends. Again, Rabbi Yehuda has that balanced approach. Where? If the two people need one another in order to carry it, so they're going to be chayav. If one could have carried on his own, the other one is just kind of there for whatever reason, or, no, I'm sorry, let me take that, I take that back. In other words, if either one of them could have done it on their own, and they share the weight of that beam, so then they're both going to be potter. And again, it sounds, well, I'll get to explanation in just a moment. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo yachol echa lo tziyo votziyo shnayim chayavim v'im la patur. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, afa pisha lo yachol echa lo tziyo votziyo shnayim paturim. So, and Rabbi Shimon says, even if one person by himself couldn't have taken out, and even if they needed both people, they're going to be potter, because again, remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, there will always be the exemption of Shnaim Shasua, even if they both could have done it. And Rabbi Shimon says, look, I, in other words, I don't waver. My position is very simple. The word ba'asosah tells me that in order to engender a chiyuv chatas, there has to be one person doing the act. Two people doing the act, even if I need both people to do it, is not going to warrant a chiyuv chatas. Chiyuv chatas is only when one person is singularly responsible for doing the act.
partnership.
Right. In other words, correct. But my kamiflagi by krah. And the Gemara now explains it even one step further. Meaning, what's at the core of the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Now, it's interesting, over here in this explanation, we're not even taking Rav Meir's position to consideration. Well, you have to understand, Rav Meir never has an exemption. Meaning, for Rav Meir, you're always going to be chayv. Even for two people who do it, you're going to be chayv. So, there's no room for Rav Meir over here, because Rav Meir just simply doesn't even have an exemption. So, b'may kemiflagi by krah. And the Gemara goes back now, and we're back to Parshas Vayikra. Ve'im nefesh achas techecheta bishgaga me'am ha'aretz ba'asosa. If one individual sins inadvertently, someone of the nation, in doing a malacha. Now, when I translate the pasuk, did I not sound a little bit wordy? Okay. And what the Gemara is going to do, this is classic drush of the Gemara. I mean drush over here, I don't mean sermonics. I mean, this is darshaning of the pasuk. So the Gemara is now going to say that each position of each Tana is going to be a question of what do we extract from every one of those extra words? Rabbi Shimon Savar Tlasami Yusuk Sive. So Rabbi Shimon, who has the most exemptions, finds the most amount of drashas. In fact, three drashas. Nefesh techeta, achas techeta, ba'asosa techeta. You see what we did over there? Meaning, obviously the key word over there is techeta, meaning the whole point over here is that someone was a chote. He was a sinner. He did an act. Now, granted, there was an inadvertent, but as we discussed time and again, inadvertent doesn't mean it was an accident. Inadvertent means that you knew exactly what you were doing, you just forgot. You forgot that it was usur, you forgot it was Shabbos, you forgot. So, but you're a chote. So, im nefesh, and then we'll throw the nefesh to techeta, achas, techeta, and ba'asosa. Each one of them speak to the idea that you have to be solely responsible. So Rabbi Shimon Savar Tlasami Yutik Siva Nefesh Techeta Achas Techeta Basasa Techeta Chad Leumuke Leumute Zeoker VeZeminiach. So let's take our first drasha. Our first drasha speaks to you have to be solely responsible. So what are we coming to exclude? Zeoker VeZeminiach. What's that? We've discussed this time and again throughout our Masechta. This is the two sides of Hotzah. Hotzah requires a person to pick something up in Rishus Yachid and to take it and place it down in Rishus Rabim. So there really are two components to Hotzah, Akira and Hanacha. Here what the Gemara is describing is, one person picks it up, passes it to another person, and the other person puts it down in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, this is going to be our first exclusion, and Rashi explains this wonderfully. Because over here, this is a true partnership. This is a real tag team effort. Because over here, are they doing it simultaneously? No. In other words, one is passing it to the other. So it is a shared responsibility, but each one of them is doing it solely on their own. If you take a look at that top Rashi, Rashi says, Zemeniach, Mirshus Yachid, the Chokamat, the Loksiv, Elachad Miut, Mistaber, the Haihu, the Mimai. The most logical sense is that this is the first one that it were excluding from a Karban Chatas. Da'aika, Avid Paga, Vahai. Paga, because each one of them is really shouldering, in this case literally, each one of them is really shouldering the responsibility. Give me a moment. And so therefore, at no point is there ever shared or a joint effort. So this is the first case that we're voting off, because this is really a case of two people doing one given malacha.
But there's a moment, unless they put it down, and the other person picks it up, there is a moment where...
There has to be. Otherwise, there wouldn't be two people doing the malacha. Right. Meaning, again, we're starting off with the starting point that two people are doing malacha. It's just now a question of, what are we going to throw out first? So this is the case we're going to throw out first, because each one of them is doing it jointly. Now, we move on to number two. I'm sorry. And now we're going to throw off the next one, which is Zeyachal v'Zeyachal. Now Zeyachal v'Zeyachal means that we're going to hold it together. We're going to carry it together. And I could have done it on my own, and he could have done it on my own, and for whatever reason, we decided to do it together. So here, that's also Shnaim Shasua. And now, because we have another miut, meaning we have three miutim, so now that we have another miut, so this also is going to get now thrown out of the parsha of Karban Chatas, and these two now are not going to bring a Karban Chatas. V'chad lamut is ze'eino yachol, v'ze'eino yachol. And now we do have one more miut. So now we've already excluded ze'meinich, ze'okr v'ze'meinich. We've excluded ze'yachol v'ze'yachol. So now what's left? The only thing that's left now is ze'eino yachol, v'ze'eino yachol. Now even though I need you and you need me, and even though the two of us need to do it together, but still, ultimately, when all said and done, two people. Shnaim Shasua. And I have another drasha, so this third drasha is going to exclude this case, which is the last one I would have excluded, because I need one another, but we have a miut. That is all Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, now, obviously, Rabbi Yehuda, he agrees up to that last point. What is he going to do with that last meal? The Gemara is now going to explain. Rav Yehuda, chalamut ze'okav ze'meniach. Good. So we're throwing out the case of ze'okav ze'meniach because, again, that's the best example of two people not sharing, but tag teaming on a malacha because each one of them does it on their own. But through the combination of the two, a malacha has now been done. And now another one's to exclude Zeyachov and Zeyachov because again, each one of them could have done it on their own. Now, what about that third miut? Third miut? Left field. Meaning, not at all germane to our discussion of Shnaim Shasua, but rather to the point of what if the following were to occur? I guess when we have the third base of Mikdash and we have based in Paskening, so I have a strong feeling that they're going to be able to disseminate their information over the internet. I hope that's not crazy to think that way. But and let's say, right, we went to see what based in is issued, and we were reading now, based in is issuing a ruling that chaylev is mutter to eat. Now it's funny because I've been raised with the idea that chaylev is asr to eat, but here look. Look what's just been sent, right? Chaylev is now mutari. Now either somebody hacked in to the Beis Din website, or no. In other words, that's really Beis Din now arrived at the conclusion that chaylev is mutari. Now, right? Beis Din is fallible. It's we have a whole masechta dedicated to the topic, and they made a mistake. They simply made a mistake. Beis Din made an error. And it's not true, the chaylev is not mutter, but they made a mistake. But, look, I never tried chaylev before. I've always wanted to try it. Chaylev, Beis Din now said it's mutter. So I go ahead and I help myself to a little bit of chaylev that morning, now realizing that Beis Din said it's okay. Now, after Beis Din comes out with a mea culpa and says, look, we made a mistake, we're really sorry. And now, are you the one who ate the chaylev based on Haraz Beis Din? You have to bring a Karban Chatas. Interestingly enough, it's subject to a machlokas. The argument you could have made, it was a very simple argument of, I'm good. I listened to Beis Din. I understand Beis Din made a mistake. I understand I shouldn't have eaten it, but not my fault, their fault. Okay. We like throwing the blame on somebody else. It's so much easier. Yeah.
The Rabbanu said it's left, you're supposed to follow.
All true. But in this context, however, they were wrong and they admitted they were wrong. So Yachid Shasa Baraz Beis Din. So Rabbi Yehuda, right, just gonna make sure I get straight. So Rabbi Yehuda will tell you what I do with that last Rasha is I exclude this from bringing a Karban Chatas. I do not need to bring a Karban Chatas if I was acting Baraz Beis Din, even though Haraz Beis Din came in error. Rabbi Shimon, Yachid Shasa Baraz Beis Din Chayav. And Rabbi Shimon will tell you no. He disagrees. Meaning, he doesn't have this miut because he fundamentally disagrees and he says no. An individual acts, even with Haraz Beis Din, is still going to be Chayav Karban Chatas. Now, I know it's hard to understand that position of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, it's difficult. Meaning, even though Beis Din said it was okay, and even though they made a mistake, I still, when all said and done, I ate chaylev, and therefore I need to bring a Karban Chatas. Good. So that now takes us through the, yeah.
That takes us through the three miyutim of the pasuk. So now it comes out that according to Rabbi Shimon, all three miyutim are going to be applied to Shneim Shasua, even leading us to the last case of where the two people need one another, still pater. Rabbi Shimon always has exemption from the Karban Chatas if two people do it. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yehuda will take us through the two drushas, but not to the third drusha of where we need one another. If we need one another, so then we're going to be chayev. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with that last drusha? Beis Din Shel Rab Batos. Beis Din made a mistake. I listened to Beis Din. I'm not going to have to bring a Karban Chatas. And what about Rabbi Meir? That's our last point over here on the stop. Rab Meir Miksiv Nefesh Techeta Achas Techeta Basa Techeta. So Rab Meir says, look, I'm not darshaning the same way, because the structure of the pasuk does not put the word techeta after all three of those words, but rather Trei Miyutiksiv. It only says Im Nefesh Achas Techeta, count that as one, and Baasosa, count that as one. So all I have now are two drushas, two miyutim. Chalamute zeakov zemeinich, vechalamute yachashasa baras beizdin. One person picks it up, the other person puts it down. Okay, they're going to be exempt from a karban chatas. But if the two of us are picking up the item, even if I could have done it on my own, and even if he could have done it on his own, nevertheless, we're going to be chayav a karban chatas. If we need each other, for sure you're going to bring a karban chatas. And what does Rameir do with that last miyut of the Torah? The only two. Last miyut is based in that issue is a ruling that chelav is mutter, and I ate the chelav based on the ruling of Beis Din. I don't have to bring a karban chatas.
So he follows Rabbi Yehuda on the third.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, he follows like Rabbi Yehuda.
But in the middle one, he doesn't.
Meaning Shneim Shasua, according to Rameir, is going to be obligated. The only time that Rameir is going to have an exemption. So I said earlier, Rameir never has an exemption. So now I will scale back a little bit on that statement. He does have an exemption in the case of Okev Zeminiach. One person picks it up and the other one puts it down. In that case, he would have an exemption. But
what did he do with the second case of the?
He only has two. He only has two miyutim.
Oh,
he doesn't have three. In that case over there, why does Rameir excuse him? But that's very simple. Meaning, it's funny. I don't even know why you need a pasuk. And this is me talking. I don't even know why you need a pasuk. Meaning, you didn't do a full malacha. You only did a half malacha. Maybe what you could have argued is that the Torah looks at the two of them, you know, and kind of puts the pieces of the puzzle together. But when all said and done, in other words, point to the guy, right? Did you do a malacha? No, I just did Akira. How about you? No, I just did Hanacha. Okay, so the idea that you need a drasha, it's funny, but okay. Again, as I mentioned from the beginning, the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda.
No,
for the
high court also, right?
Yeah, even on the high court as well. Amar Yachol, Yachol v'Zeh Eino Yachol, Divrei HaKol Chayev. Okay, and now we'll spend the remainder of today talking now about the following. Zeh Yachol v'Zeh Eino Yachol. So, as I mentioned earlier, the easiest way to think about this case is one person's really strong and one person's really not. Okay, that's certainly a way to think about it. Nira Lari, you want to see the fourth Tosus on the Amud? Nira Lari, the high Eino Yachol, that on our description over here of Eino Yachol, Haino Afil Bal Koach Harbe. Meaning, you don't have to set up the case like that. It could be, says Tosfos, that truth of the matter is they're both really strong. Okay, this is not a function of strength. Ella, shu nose akor be'inyazeh, b'chei agavne shi'om alay acher, lo haya yachol l'nosa levado. Kigon be'etzba, o tofsa be'inyazeh, she'inu yachol l'nosa levado. It could very well be that right now the grip he has on it is not a good grip. Or right now, it's kind of like, you know, he's holding it up with a finger. In other words, right now, it has nothing. It's not a function of how strong he is. It's just a function of what's he doing right now, in terms of holding up the beam.
But he's still contributing.
But the truth of the matter is that his contribution is not a major contribution. And Tosha says, "Demalan lekochol kevin dahashemia ino yochol enosa." In other words, right now, if the other person were to walk away, this guy right now, no way, with the grip that he has, with whatever he's doing right now, no way would be able to hold it. If you put it down and then he got a good grip and then he picked it up, fine. But right now, Vasher Husham, he's not doing enough to make any type of real significant contribution. This is what's called misayeya. This is a little bit of an assist. So to that, the Gemara now wonders, now what did we say earlier? Everybody's in agreement. We have three opinions, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir. Everybody's in agreement that in this case of Zeh Yachol v'Zeh Eino Yachol, he's going to be Chayev. Now you heard me carefully, because I said it carefully, he's going to be Chayev. And I left that as an ambiguous pronoun. And the Gemara now wants to know, who are we talking about? Zeh Yachol v'Zeh Eino Yachol, Divrei HaKol Chayev, Hai Minayim Mechayev, which one of them is going to be Chayev? That's the Gemara's question. Now, as we're about to engage in a long and lengthy discussion about this, let's for a moment think about what the Gemara is asking. Which one of them is Chayev? Like, it's even a consideration that the weaker one is going to be Chayev and the stronger one's not going to be Chayev? That's hard to imagine that the Gemara is even entertaining that.
Isn't it similar to a case where somebody actually intended to eat Chayev intentionally and ended up being tricky?
No.
This guy's intent is to do something, even though he's not able to. His intent is to do something that's...
This case over here is very simply, I'm doing it, but not a whole lot, and the truth of the matter is that the other person really could have done it on his own.
But the thing is, you're intended to be kosher, but you're not able to accomplish it, but your intent is still to be
right. Kosher. I'm not sure. I don't think that the intent is really the key issue over here. It's, I'm contributing to the malacha, although truth be told is that right now, not contributing a whole lot. I'm doing a little bit. Now, again, let's go back to Tosfos one more time for this morning. And lo bai la meimer she yipater oso she yachol v'lo yichayev she eino yachol de'ein zeh svara. So Tosfos says, it just there's no logic to the idea that the Gemara is even contemplating that the person who's able, he's pater. The person who's not so able, he's chayev. I mean, obviously. I say obviously, but Tosfos says it also. So I'm standing on firm ground. So ein zeh svara. Ela kamar deliz chayev nami afilu she'eino yachol. Kamola Rav Yehuda Rav Meir da'amir la'el ze'eino yachol v'ze'eino yachol chayev. What the Gemara is contemplating right now is the following. The person who can, he's going to be chayev. That's a given. I'd like to know, is asking the Gemara, how about the person who is assisting? Does he have any liability? Is he also going to be chayev? That's the Gemara's question, and we want to now know, this misayeya, the person who is giving an assist, does he get any credit whatsoever?
Depending on who's looking at it, Rabbi Meir would say he is.
No, you see, this is interesting. This is where the Gemara's discussion is interesting, because they all agree. Everyone agrees in this case he's chayev. And so the Gemara, and to which now the Gemara is saying, it's a given. The one who could have done it on his own and is burdening the majority of the weight, he's for sure going to be chayev. And the Gemara says that earlier.
But the thing is that the guy in Loyachol would not have been able to accomplish without the other guy.
No, agreed.
So he would have never committed the chayev.
Right. So, right, agreed. So in other words, right. So what the Gemara is asking now, and Tosfos doesn't make this point, yeah. You see, let me see if I can articulate this well. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon always has an exemption.
Okay.
Right. So here, I don't know if the Gemara would entertain a coin to Rabbi Shimon in this case if there would be a chiyuv. For the meaning, even as a hava, meaning for Rabbi Shimon, I can't imagine. I can't. Right, it's hard. But again, we all do agree that the one who is shouldering the majority of the work, he's going to be chayef. We all agree to that. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, yes?
I just have a more basic question. Isn't it in the time of the Mishkan, two people were carrying one thing at the same time?
Those beams, those crush him. Right, that's a good point. Right, those crush him were extraordinarily heavy, and that's an excellent point.
To help you, because if I don't, it will fall on you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's some, you know,
Okay.
But from there, do you get that Rabbi Shimon is agreeing to this?
Huh?
Where do you see that Rabbi Shimon is
agreeing? On the bottom of the previous Amud. Rabbi Meir Chavei Yudah Meir Chol Yechol Sofin Zu Shnaim Chayavim Vim Lapturim. Sorry, where is it? Zeyachol Vzeyeno Yachol Divrei Hakol Chayav. Right on the bottom of the previous Amud, where the Gemara says, according to everybody, you're going to be chayav.
But it says which one?
No, it doesn't say which one, though.
I mean, no, I understand that. So now the Gemara is asking, Haiminayu. But even, I'm saying, that's why I paused at this point of the Gemara. And the pause right now is turning into a long pause, but that's fine. And that's why I paused, because when the Gemara is asking this question now, the Gemara, Tosfos is saying, you can't imagine, I can't imagine, says Tosfos, that the Gemara is for a moment contemplating that the weaker one is going to be chayv and the stronger one is going to be exempt. Can't imagine. So therefore, Tosfos says the only thing that the Gemara is doing right now is wondering the misayeya, the weak guy, does he also share liability? And on that question of Tosfos, I guess it's fair to wonder: are we asking within Rabbi Yehuda? Are we asking within Rabbi Shimon? Are we asking within Rabbi Meir? Okay. So Haminayim Mechayv. Yes.
It seems that the weaker one is equivalent to the two that are carrying equally.
Right. That's right. That's what Tosfos is saying. Meaning, Tosfos is saying, is this Misayeya similar to the two people who are sharing the joint weight of the beam? That's exactly how the Gemara is laying out according to Tosfos. Okay, let me press ahead. We do have a lot more to go. Amar Rav Chisda Zeshiachol. I'm sorry. So Haiminai Mechayv. Amar Rav Chisda Zeshiachol. So Rav Chisda says Zeshiachol, meaning only the one who can. The Misayeya, no. The Zeshiachol, my Kavod. What's he doing? There with a finger, maybe helping him balance it. But what's he doing? Amar Rav Amnuna to come Misayeya Ba'Day. So Rav Amnuna says, what do you mean? What is he doing? He's helping. Siyua, meaning he is providing a little bit of assistance. So Amalei Misayim b'mamish. So he says, okay, good, I'm happy. Halachically, do you know how we view the Misayeya as a zero? Halachically, maybe give him a pat on the back, thank him for his help. But halachically, he's a zero. So Amrav Zid Mishmei Derav Afanami Tanina. And now, we're going to be all over Shas and basically point to places where, quite honestly, you never thought we would go to in terms of making this case that a Misayeya is a zero. Meaning not shouldering 50% of the weight of a beam, but just being giving some sort of contribution. Now, I'd love it if we quantify a little bit better in terms of what exactly is a Misayeya. Meaning 25%, 20%, 10%, I don't know. In other words, I know how to speak about it conceptually, but practically, if we want some sort of quantification, the Gemara is not going to do that for us. But, okay, let's see. Afanami tenina yoshev agabi mita varba talios tachas ragle amita temeos mimei she'eni yechola amod al shalosh. V'rabbi Shimon mitaher. Case number one. Bed. Four legs of the bed. There's a talus under each one of the four legs of the bed. Now remember Thomas Medrash, we've talked about it time and again, and I don't know why in Shabbos it comes up over and over again. But Thomas Medrash, there's a Masechta for that. So Thomas Medrash, and the Mishnah over here in Zavin tells us that if I have a talus under all four legs, so that means each one of the talasim are there to help support the weight of the person, of the Zav, who's on the bed, and I guess those talasim add cushion to the bed. Whatever the case is, each one of the talasim is going to be Tame, with Tumas Medras. Why? Because Mimne She'ena Yochola La'amara Shalosh. Because try making a bed with three legs. Ain't going to work. So in other words, it's going to tilt over. Each leg is necessary in terms of shouldering the weight of each one of the people. And Rabbi Shimon's Metan, Rabbi Shimon says, nah, each talus is going to be taller. Now I will share with you, although this is not going to be our main point right now, but I will share with you, there is a fascinating Rashi right here on Rabbi Shimon Metahir. Rabbi Shimon says, do you know what Rabbi Shimon's doing there? He's being consistent, says Rashi. Rabbi Shimon letame, damer zeinu yachol v'zeinu yachol, nami eino ela kimisayeya upater. Because we saw in the beginning of today's daf that according to Rabbi Shimon, where zeinu yachol and zeinu yachol, Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be exempt. And it's really fascinating because basically what we're doing is we're taking a play out of the pages of Shabbos, of Hilchos Shabbos, and we're now taking it to to Zav and Tumas Medras, and this is a case of Zeinu Yochel v'Zeinu Yochel, and just like Rabbi Shimon says, you're going to be Potter by Shabbos, so too over here, you realize we're not talking about exemption from Chatas. Over here we're talking about whether or not the talisim that are under the legs of the bed are going to be tamei or not tamei. It's two different topics of discussion, but the way Rashi sees it, it's all one universal idea. Not even just a chatas idea, just a universal truth that according to Rabbi Shimon, anytime you have shared distribution, joint effort on an item, each item is not reflected as a sole entity.
So then you see somebody sits on these three bed, the tame, it doesn't make the bed tame?
Does it make the bed tame? Yeah. That's not the point. The point being is that because I need all four legs, so therefore each one of them is going to be viewed as a contributing force, a contributing effort. But now let's not make this a bed. Now let's make this an animal. And now let's have a zav sitting on top of the animal, and let's put four talesos under the four legs of the animal. What does the Mishnah tell us? Tahoros. They're all going to be tahor. Because unlike a bed, the bed does not know how to shift its weight. An animal does. And you see the camel do this sometimes, where they lift one of their legs up, give it a rest. Okay? And because the animal at any given point in time can lift one of its legs, so therefore all four legs are not necessary for the support of the animal, and because it can lift its leg up, each leg is considered a misayeya. Now, I know, just conceptually, this is very difficult, because I understand that while it's lifting up the leg, we could view it as a misayeh, but the point here being, even while all four legs are planted on the ground, each leg is viewed as just simply a misayeh, because it's not necessary.
But I think it's no individual leg could hold it by itself. That's the difference between...
Okay. The amai haki misayeh behadi adadeh la mishum darmina misayeh ba mamish. To which the Gemara says, what do you see over here? You see over here something very interesting and something very clear. The leg at best is viewed as identified as a misayaya, and each one of the talesos under each one of the legs of the animal is tahor. What does that tell you? That in halacha, a misayaya is a zero. Am Rav Yehuda midiskarta lo lamim lacha misayesh b'mamish. The Gemara says, here I could argue with you and I could make the following argument. Shani hacha da'akri le lagamre. Here the leg is less than a misayaya. Meaning don't even call the leg a misayaya. Call it nothing, meaning not even a misayeya, because the animal actually could physically lift the leg up. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm with you, it can lift its leg up, but it can't lift its legs up all at the same time. In other words, three legs have to be on the ground. So you know what this is like? This is like a zava misapech. Milo Tanan, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Zav Shaya Muta Alhesav Salem. Let's say the Zav is lying down on five benches. Now, these benches, if you would like to imagine together with me, these benches are very thin and narrow, but very long. Alhe Pundaos, or lining up five belts together. And these belts, if you want to imagine, are not thin belts, but thick belts. And you're lining five up so you have something soft to lie down on. Lo Orchan Tamein. So if you're lying down lengthwise on each one of these benches and belts, so it makes it tame, each one of them. Lirachvan, however, if you're not going to lie down lengthwise, but you're going to lay down widthwise, so that means that I could just simply easily slide out one of the benches and he'll be fine. Tahorin, each one of the benches are going to be tar. Yashin, Safik Mishapik Alein Tamein. Now, if he's sleeping on the bench, on the five benches lengthwise, each one of those benches are going to be tummy. Each one of those belts are going to be tummy. So now, Elalav Mishum De Amrina Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. And let's fill in the blank over here. And what do we see over here? So Rashi explains what we see over here is the following. That when you're sleeping, you don't know how many of the benches you actually used. And nevertheless, they're all going to be tummy because you know you used some of them. You know some of them supported your weight. So over here now, let's go back to our animal. Our animal, you want to argue, well, it's not a misayeh because the animal actually lifts up its leg. Great. But when all said and done, three legs have to be on the ground. And so it's true that the animal could lift up one of its legs at any given point in time, but that can't be any different than the Zov lying down on the five benches, lined up all side by side, and he's going to be lying down on two of them, on three of them, on four of them, and they're all going to be Tameh. So shouldn't that be true over here? We're going to go back to our original explanation, which is because the animal doesn't need all four legs, and because it could pick up one of its four legs, each leg is deemed as the Misayeya. And now we'll go back to our explanation that, you know what? Misayim ba mamish. Let's do a little bit more. Amar Rav Papi Mishmei Rav Afanami Tanina. We see this also as well. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Hasus metamei al yadav. The horse puts most of its weight on its forelegs. Hachamor araglav, the donkey puts its weight on its back legs. Shimeshena susayadav, hachamor araglav. Vamai, hakemisayeba hadiadade. So now, the horse. What's wrong with its hind legs? Meaning, the hind legs are there, right? Even though the horse puts most of its weight on its forelegs, but the hind legs are there. So what are the hind legs? They're misayeya. And what is the misayeya in halacha? Zero. El alav mishum damrina misayeya in bamamish. Am ravashi avanami tanin rav lazar amir raglo achas al kliv raglo achas al ritzpah. We're now going to the case of the kohen. The kohen needs to stand on the floor of the azara. If he does not, the avoda that he does is pasul. One leg is on the floor. One leg is on a kli. Raglo achas al heaven. Raglo achas al ritzpah. Rowan kol she'ilu inata al kli v'tinata al heaven. Yachol amara raglo achas avoda sok shera. Now, if I move the kli, if he's able to still stand on the floor, and that kli is only a misayeya, his avoda is kasher. Why? Again, because misayeya is a zero. In other words, we don't even look at him standing on the kli. V'imlav avoda sapsula. V'amayka misayeya ba'adi adadila. Mishum damina misayeya ba'mamish. Ama ravina afanami tanina. Let's do it one more way. Kibel b'yamin. A kohen must do the avoda with the right hand. Kohen must be a righty. And he's mekabel b'yamin, v'smol misayeso, and the left hand is just there assisting and supporting. Avoda sok shera, the avoda is kasher. So ve'amai hakim misayeh b'hadei adadei. Now the Gemara wonders, I don't understand. Isn't the left hand helping? Isn't assisting? Amishum damrinan misayeh bo mamish. Another proof that a misayeh equals zero. To our question of Shaim Shasua, so we started with the Mishnah today, our Mishnah Torah, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and the opinion of the Chachamim. I'm sorry, of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says two people are going to be chav when they need one another. Two people are exempt if each one could do it by himself. Rabbi Shimon says no. Two people are always going to be exempt whether they need or do not need one another. We spoke this morning about where the sources of this halacha of Shaim Shasua. And we reflected the position of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rameir, all from the Psukim. And then the Gemara wants to know, what is the status of the Messiah? And the Gemara concludes very conclusively, the Messiah, if all you're doing is assisting, but you're not actually sharing the burden of an item, and it's just a siyua, in halacha, siyua is zero, and it's totally disregarded. And so therefore, obviously the conclusion would be that the Messiah would be pater from a carbon chatos.